Vagabond by Bernard Cornwell. Read by Tim Pigott-Smith. It was October, the time of the year's dying, when the northern winds brought a promise of ice. The chestnut leaves had turned golden, and the oaks were made from bronze. Thomas of Hookton, with his woman, Eleanor, and his friend, Father Hobb, came to the upland farm at dusk, and the farmer refused to open his door, but shouted that the travellers could sleep in the byre. Rain rattled on the thatch as Thomas led their one horse under the roof that they shared with six pigs in a timber pen and a scattering of feathers where a hen had been plucked. And the feathers reminded Father Hobb that it was St. Gallus's day, and he told Eleanor how the blessed saint, coming home in a winter's night, had found a bear stealing his dinner. "He told the animal off," Father Hobb said. "He gave it a right talking to, he did, and then he made it fetch his firewood."
"I've seen a picture of that," Eleanor said. "And didn't the bear become his servant?"
"That's because Gallus was a holy man," Father Hobb explained. "Bears wouldn't fetch firewood for just anyone."
"A holy man," Thomas put in, "who is the patron saint of hens."
"Gallus is the patron of hens?" Eleanor asked, confused. "Not bears?"
"Of hens," Father Hobb confirmed. "Indeed, of all poultry."
"But why?"
Eleanor wanted to know.
"Because he once expelled a wicked demon from a young girl."
Father Hobb, broad-faced, hair like a stickleback's spines, stocky, young and eager, liked to tell stories of the blessed saints. A whole bundle of bishops had tried to drive the demon out, and they'd all failed. But the blessed Gallus cursed the demon. He cursed it, and it screeched in terror and fled from her body. And it looked just like a black hen.
"I've never seen a picture of that," Eleanor remarked,
then gazed out through the byre door.
"But I'd like to see a real bear carrying firewood," she added wistfully.
Thomas sat beside her and stared into the wet dusk that was hazed by mist. He was not sure it really was St. Gallus's day, for he had lost his reckoning while they travelled. It was October, he knew, and he knew that 1,346 years had passed since Christ had been born, but he was not sure which day it was.
"How far to Durham?" Eleanor asked, this time speaking French, her native language.
"Tomorrow, I think," Thomas answered, gazing north to where the heavy dark was shrouding the land. "She asked," he explained in English to Father Hobb, "when we would reach Durham."
"Tomorrow, pray God," the priest said.
"Tomorrow you can rest," Thomas promised Eleanor. She was pregnant, and Thomas was not sure how he felt about being a father. But Eleanor was happy, and he liked to please her, and so he told her he was happy as well. And some of the time that was even true. Thomas slept closest to the byre door, and woke because there was a light in the northern sky. He forgot that he was cold, forgot his hunger, forgot all the small, nagging discomforts of life, for he could see the Grail, the Holy Grail, the most precious of all Christ's bequests to man, lost these 1,000 years and more, and he could see it, glowing in the sky like shining blood, and about it a dazzling shimmer filled the heavens.
"O Lord," he said,
and threw off his blanket and knelt.
"O Lord!"
"Thomas?" Eleanor sat up and stared into the night.
"Fire," she said. "C'est un grand incendie."
Her voice was awed.
"Incendie?"
Thomas asked, then came fully awake, and saw there was indeed a great fire on the horizon from where the flames boiled up to light a cup-shaped chasm in the clouds.
"There is an army there," Eleanor whispered. "Look."
She pointed to another glow farther off. They had seen such lights in the sky in France, flame light reflected from cloud, where England's army blazed its way across Normandy and Picardy. Thomas still gazed north, but now in disappointment. It was an army, not the Grail. In the last village where the folk had watched them suspiciously, a sullen priest had accused them of being Scottish spies. Father Hobb had bridled at that, threatening to box his ears. But Thomas had calmed both men down and spoken with a shepherd who said he'd seen smoke in the northern hills. The Scots, the shepherd said, were marching south.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?